the Port Authority Board meeting. The first item under Chairman's remarks, I would really enjoy introducing our new commissioner. Wendy, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
We're really excited about having you join the board and join the commission. Know you have a lot of great experience and a lot of great things to do in the future and help us move the port forward. So thank you.
Thank you.
If you'd like to say anything, go ahead.
I'm just honored to be here. I got to meet a lot of y'all last Wednesday. I'm excited to be here and work with y'all for, you know, make this region better. And thank y'all for your hard work.
Great. Well, thanks. Appreciate that. Just under my remarks, I just want to talk a little bit about, you know, our number one priority, which is to deepen and widen the channel. Roger's going to talk a little bit more about that and some of the other folks here a little bit later in the meeting. But one of the things that, and this is kind of the, I guess, one of the perks of being a of being the chairman, but Roger called me a couple weeks ago and said, you know, we've got this invitation from the Corps of Engineers and you need to come back to Houston. I was out of town and wasn't scheduled to be back here. And he said it was a once in a lifetime opportunity for the port and for me personally and Roger to engage with the Corps, our partners in the mega study that's going on right now. And ultimately the partners that will, you know, add value to the deepening and widening. So I came into town on Wednesday night, and I was fortunate to have breakfast with our new port commissioner, and so we got to know each other a little bit there. But after that, on Thursday night, we attended a dinner with General Semonite, who's the chief who will be signing our deepening and widening project ultimately. And so we spent a couple hours at dinner. I sat next to him and Roger next to me. So we talked about details about what was going on, what we needed to do, and what all of us needed to do in terms of dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's to get this project moved forward. The next day on Friday, we accompanied the general and our regional general who is in Dallas and also the rest of the commander of our region and then a lot of the folks that work with the Corps here locally. And we spent 4 hours on a Black Hawk helicopter, it was, doors were open, we're strapped in almost it's clearly a military trip. They had three helicopters that went from the middle of the ship channel. We fortunately got to see a Texas chicken being performed, or right before a Texas chicken was performed. We went down the coast and then up the coast through to Beaumont, Port Arthur, and then back and then down the ship channel. And the thing that was really striking was, and during that whole trip, we were talking about what the impediments were, what the benefits were and the positives of our deepening and widening, how important it was to the region. And the juxtaposition between Port Arthur and Beaumont and the Houston Ship Channel was just striking in terms of just the activity and the number of ships and things that were going on. I think the general really got the idea that it was really important and critical to our region to move forward this deepening and widening project. We reviewed with the Corps $3.5 billion worth of projects that the Corps hopes to sign off on before General Semonite retires in May. And so he's very focused on going forward and making sure that we get moving forward on the ultimate chief's report that he has to sign off on. There is an item on the agenda today that you'll see, we'll talk a little more detail about, that is an extension of the mega study and an additional $300,000 cost. And that really relates to sort of the timing of getting the report completed and what have you. We'll talk about that in detail in the future. So in the rest of the meeting. So with that, those are my remarks, and then we'll move to item C, which is the approval of the minutes from.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll take both of these items, the minutes from April 23rd and the minutes from May 21st.
Second.
Yes.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, great. Okay, so item D is updates on the on a couple of the committee meetings that we've had. On the audit committee met on the, I have it here somewhere. Let's see here. Yeah, we met on the 21st. Here we go. So the audit, as chair of the audit committee, we met on the 21st. There was a big, robust discussion on the results of operations and the financial statements for the first quarter. One of the things I will add is that so the we have a very the finance group and Tim Finley and his group have put together a real summary financial statements, both income statement and balance sheet. And for those of you who aren't on the audit committee, who didn't see these. They're very. It's a very good summary of the operations in a non kind of financial way. So non, you know, CPAs can really understand it. So the first quarter income was net income was $26 million, a 2% increase, and a lot of it had to do with expense control. Net position. Hello. I can read without this. So there we go. Our net position, which is primarily infrastructure assets, increased to $2.3 billion in the first quarter, up 2% from 2018. Increase in working capital of $367 million, up 6%. We talked about, discussed our cash flow and the investment plans for capital investments. We also reviewed Grant Thornton's contract for professional audit services. It was recommended that we continue to that Grant Thornton was continue to be in good standing with the state Board of Public Accountancy. Staff recommended the committee support the option to extend Grant Thornton's professional services agreement by 1 year in an amount not to exceed $249,500. The Port Commission approved that extension. The internal audit staff gave a report. There's summaries of the items. There was nothing big, nothing major on the whistleblower or anything like that. We changed some of the items in the charter, and that was about it. Is there any questions about that report?
Quick question about Grant Thornton. Is this did I read correctly? This is the last year of their engagement, or I know that it's standard. Yeah. To change every so many
years. We'll bid it back out next year.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Community relations report.
Thank you, Chairman. Good morning, commissioners and guests. The Community Relations Committee met last on May 22nd, 2019. Staff provided an overview of current Port Authority outreach activities, including stewardship initiatives benefiting the community, small businesses, and students in maritime education programs. Two notable accomplishments highlighted in staff reports include: Port Houston team members recently wrapped up the Read Houston Read program at HISD's Port Houston Elementary, volunteering over 180 hours to help develop the students' literacy skills and improved reading comprehension. Additionally, a total of 251 students proudly graduated from Port Houston's Maritime Academies this year from six local high schools. 45 graduates were from Jack Yates High School, one of whom was this year's valedictorian. The committee further discussed additional project ideas for Port Authority investment in the community. Project ideas range from development of parks along Buffalo Bayou, and adopt of the highway initiatives, and additional opportunities for the Sam Houston boat tour. The committee asked staff to further research several projects with partnership opportunities that would improve nearby communities that are directly impacted by port operations. Staff also briefly discussed the current community engagement plan and the need to further update the framework of that plan to provide more of a big picture approach. I look forward to continuing that conversation at our next committee meeting later this morning on how the Port Authority strategically interacts with our local communities and stakeholders. Thank you, Chairman. That concludes my report. And I would like to add that I would like to compliment Roger. He's put together a great team, I believe, in the community relations. And I really think we're going to be able to make some great accomplishments. Thank you.
Great. Any questions, members? Okay. Moving on to the Compensation Committee report from May 22nd. So just to recap, the Compensation Committee did meet on May 22nd. We presented a charter that is actually in our book today to adopt and to sort of review why we set this committee up. The purpose of the committee is to set compensation of the executive director and the chief audit officer. All other compensation issues are delegated to management. The committee will oversee general compensation programs for the port employees, but does not make specific recommendations for salaries or things like that. They also oversee the other part of the compensation committee is to create a succession plan to make sure that we have, you know, people in the wings that are willing and able to take over and when we have some of our senior people either retire or leave. So the general the idea behind this committee again is to focus on creating the right culture and support for the compensation and benefits program so that we can attract the best and the brightest and make sure people are doing well. And it takes a long time to build culture, and I think the port has done a great job over the last 4 or 5 years developing programs and developing compensation programs and what have you to improve their culture. But culture is something you have to work on every single day, and it's a destination that you pretty much never reach, but you just have to continue to work on it to make sure that you're improving the workplace so people can do their best work. During the committee meeting, staff made presentations. They went through how the past compensation approach were done and then converted to a market-based compensation structure in August of 2018. Until recently, that hadn't been done since 1999. In 2015, they moved towards a two-step process, which step one was updating job descriptions. Step two was consulting with Mercer and assisted with those job descriptions. And then Mercer was able to put together a market salary recommendation on all but about 20 positions. In August, the port implemented the new salary structure. Most police, fire, and maintenance staff were placed in fixed rate structures. All their employees were placed in banded structures. Just a side note that the port recently obtained additional market data for police and fire and are currently evaluating those pay structures. And the challenge you have with anything like this is that oftentimes there's debates about what job descriptions mean, and then oftentimes there are no comparable job positions that people can comp. So there has to be a certain amount of discretion that is involved and fairness that is involved in any compensation program. And I know that there's been some ongoing discussions about that. Overall, the Mercer analysis showed the port's base salaries were 99.1% within the 50th percentile, which is where management thought people ought to be. Staff noted the bonuses paid by other entities were not taken into consideration in the final market analysis. The committee discussed whether such bonuses should be taken into consideration moving forward and whether the port should implement its own bonus program. The idea there is if you're going to comp market salaries, then it ought to be if our competition for our port employees is the broader marketplace, then and you only look at base salaries and you don't include bonuses and other types of incentives, then you're sort of not hitting the market. And so fundamentally, we think that we ought to take bonuses into account, and we ought to create a bonus program in the future that's tied to performance and makes sense so that our people can be paid the way they could be in the marketplace. That's an ongoing thing that the compensation committee will be working on. In August of 2018, Mercer showed that 116 employees were paid below the market salaries. Those employees, and in August of 2018, all those employees except chiefs were brought up to the minimum of their salary band. In contrast, Mercer found 44 employees are being paid above their salary bands, and staff has referred to those employees as red circled or red band employees, and their salaries were frozen. There is ongoing discussion about that process, and we'll have more on that after the next couple of compensation committee meetings. In March, the board rolled out salary increases at the tail end of its annual performance review process. Employees and fixed structures received a 3.7% increase, and within the banded structures, employees were with performance scores of 3 or better were given increases based on their score and where they were within the payroll band and the pay bands. Red circle employees were given lump sum payments instead of salary increases if their performance score was a 3 or higher. Internal equity is a huge part of compensation when you get down to it, because of the salary structures were set using market comparisons without looking at other factors such as tenure, experience, past performance. There's some discussion about the need to ensure that internal equity concerns are taken into consideration in setting compensation. This includes some discussion about the possibility of cost of living adjustments and other incentives for red circled employees beyond the lump sum payments. And whenever you have compensation programs, and this gets back to the issue of being able to comp specific salaries and specific people. If you have somebody who's been here 25 years, who's been given a, you know, sort of a 3% raise every year, they might be outside their band, but that doesn't mean they're not a great employee. And why should they be frozen, if you will, at that level? So that is an ongoing discussion that we're going to continue to have. Staff discussed all the job audit processes that have been established. The process allows employees to have their job description reviewed and updated and reevaluated against the market. This, again, is about internal equity. The committee discussed the need to ensure that job audit process doesn't take too long and isn't too cumbersome. The staff also noted that moving forward, it will continue to use Mercer salary surveys and pay factors to monitor the market changes and update salary structures. We're meeting later today on succession planning. Any questions about the compensation committee meeting or what's going on there? Okay, great. All right. So our next item E, one is public comments. I think we have one person that is signed up to speak. Mr. Eric Mann, where is from Amcor? I'm sorry.
Yes.
We have 3 minutes. Yeah, we have 3 minutes to.
It's an acronym for American Conservation Oil Remediation Company.
Got it.
Every day, gentlemen, we have spills all over the world. In the last 4 months of the beginning of this year, we had 4 major disasters. We're continuing to have problems. The port here, the ship channel, has all these container companies, and they're there for a good reason, because whatever spill happens, it goes into the ship channel. They can be able to build dams to be able to impede it, but it doesn't stop it. The foam that they use for the ITC, the gentleman that created that foam contacted me because I've made numerous calls to find out how long does it take to dissipate. It doesn't dissipate. All it does is break up into smaller molecules, but it stays in the water. Each of you have a glass of water here, a bottle of water. Each of you have a decision to make here for all of us in this community. But one day you're going to stand before your children, and we're not going to have fresh water to be able to drink. You're going to have to ask yourself, could I have made a decision to make it better? Could we have made it a better decision to make the ship channel better? We can do better than what we're doing right now. And right now, we're using adsorbents instead of absorbents. And for those of you that don't know the difference, an adsorbent is a product that only coats when you have a spill that takes place. An absorbent is what it takes to be able to absorb the product. When you have Band-Aids that we continue to put on these spills, we're in problem. We're having a problem here. So what happens is with these Band-Aids, and we can't continue going on the way that we're going, the same mindset is that with the chemicals and the carcinogens that are spilled into the water, we're putting on more chemicals and carcinogens. Where's the mindset and any logic there? We have to ask ourselves that. Our company produces a product. It's called Amcrosorb. It's a live microbe. Some of you may be familiar with it. But with each spill that occurs, 1 gallon of oil contaminates 1 million gallons of water. And you think about that. this format that happened out here with the ship barges, we had a real problem. ITC, we had a real problem. But it's not getting corrected correctly. What happens is that when you have a spill, that spill goes out and it's got a sheen, which is creating a footprint only for that particular time, but it doesn't show the booms, the people that are coming to do the cleanup. TCEQ comes out, the EPA, all these agencies come out, but it takes a while before everybody converges to be able to clean up the mess. In the meantime, it's traversed, the currents and the winds direct that. By the time the people that have the ships to come out and deploy the booms, that sheen is out there. They have to be able to locate it. With our product, you can be able to put it on. It should be mandated that every ship or vehicle, all right, for lack of a better word for me here, but for every marine vehicle that is out there, they should have this product on there. The reason is because as soon as that happens, yes, sir, am I up?
Yeah, you're up.
Okay. It should be deployed, and that way you have a footprint to be able to take care of it. Thank you.
I have a question. Have you talked to TECQ and EPA and others, other regulatory groups that could actually mandate that? Because the port can't really mandate. We don't have the authority to mandate any vessel on what they carry or what they don't carry.
Right. The TCEQ actually has addressed us. Uh-huh. We're going up to a meeting. As a matter of fact, I had a call from them yesterday. And the EPA, USDA is aware of us. They contacted us because they we had made a mention that the DOD and the DOJ spent $500,000 along with the United States Navy, Air Force, and the U.S. Coast Guard to find out the statements that we were making, and they found out conclusively, and we don't get their endorsement. You have to meet their stringent standards. We not only met them, but we exceeded them. I'm a United States Air Force vet myself, so I understand what those standards are, and those of you that are vets, you probably understand that too. We've got a problem, but we've got a solution. Mm-hmm. That's all I can tell you right now, but I'd like to be able to have further dialogue with you.
Any other questions, board members?
So what about the terminals? Have they expressed interest in your
problem? Terminals, for instance, here's the problem that we have for just a second, sir. You have the terminals, the owners. You ask them, if you call them, say, what is the absorbent or what is it you're using to be able to clean up the spill? And they say, I don't know. Whatever the remediation company is using. If you call the remediation company and ask them, what are they using? Then they say, whatever the client says. They've got fingers pointing at one another. And so when ITC happened, to give you for instance, I called, I spoke with Ms. Richardson, the PIO, Public Information Officer. I asked her those two questions. What are you using? And who's your remediation company? Both questions, I don't know. I'm thinking, this is a person that's of importance there. She should know. I asked the CEO, Mr. Jensen, I think his name is. He called me because I made a statement to them and I said, you're going to have another explosion. That morning, I said, you're going to have another explosion. He called me. He says, oh, what are you, a soothsayer? No, I'm not a soothsayer, but I work with NASA, and I know I've worked with butene, benzene, xylene, and toluene. It only takes, and you may know, sir, it only takes a static electricity spark to be able to ignite that. And 6 o'clock that night, my CFO, Mr. Miller, called me and said, are you watching the news? And I said, no. He said, they had another explosion. It could have been avoided. The problem is that dam, all that foam and everything, and the chemicals went in the ship channel. Yes, sir.
Thank you. And if I could ask you to, you know, just get in touch with us. Our chief infrastructure officer, Rich Burns, over there is responsible for our environmental initiatives at the port. Okay. So
what's his name?
Rich Burns. Raise your hand.
Okay. Thank you.
We could exchange contact.
Thanks for letting me speak, sir.
Absolutely. Okay, so moving on to our staff reports, Roger.
Yes. Good morning and welcome everybody. Just to highlight what's going on through May, our commerce across our public docks continues to trend upward for the year. 4% increase in tonnage in May alone versus last year, up 7% overall at our public facilities for 2019. We're continuing to keep an eye on steel in light of the tariffs that were implemented earlier in the year, but import steel continues to be up 11% over last year. It is supported by the continued drilling in the oil field, the energy sector. Our container volume remains strong with our volumes versus 2018 up 12% through May for this year. In fact, we have a project that you'll see on an item on the agenda where we're recommending, in support of this growth, continuing to make the investments, particularly with RTG cranes, to handle the volume that we're seeing coming through our port. Rick mentioned, but I just want to highlight additionally, you know, the deepening and widening project remains our number one priority, and we'll continue to press with all of our stakeholders for the most expedient solution for getting the authority all the way through the completion of construction. So that remains the number one priority and will be until that's done. In addition to meeting with General Seminite, the final approval of this extension, which Rich will talk about on our agenda, is to keep this project moving in our partnership with the Corps and getting that authorization in a timely manner so that we can make sure that we hit the WERDA 2020, where we get that authorization from Congress. We met with Assistant Secretary of the Army last week to make sure that he's on board. When he gets that, he has the final approval, and we have that assurance that this is going to continue on. So Rich will talk about that item in infrastructure. A couple things I like to highlight some of our folks and dedicated employees at the port. I first want to talk about we are continuing our apprenticeship program at the port. It's a program that we've had for many, many years, a great opportunity for the port, but great opportunity for the individuals to get in here, learn on the job, get their classroom education, and become members of the family at Port Houston. So I've brought our newest members in here today of our apprenticeship program. And I'm going to ask them to stand one at a time when I call your name. But these are working at our Barberscut and Bayport facilities, primarily in the mechanic role and the electrician role. So I first want to highlight Ashley Flowers. Please stand up. She comes from the Job Corps and is a certified welder. Thank you, Ashley. John Hernandez. He's a mechanic. He's a 2019 graduate from Deer Park High School. Cole Saragosa. He's been a laborer out at Bayport for about a year now, and he's getting into our apprenticeship program. So we're really proud that you're up in your game there and learning this trade. Thank you. On the electrician side, Logan Ferugia. Did I come close to that, Logan?
Yeah. He's being nice. You didn't.
Electrician, also a 2019 Deer Park graduate. So welcome aboard. Jesse Jimenez, 2017 graduate of LaPorte High School. Thank you. And also another current employee has been a laborer at the Turning Base Maintenance. He's now entering the electrician apprenticeship program, Jacob Vasquez. Thank you, Jacob. So how about a hand for all of these? The value, you know, back 30 years ago, yeah, I've been here for more than 30 years, but we have folks like you that entered this program who are now our leadership and our foreman and our maintenance program. So a great opportunity for you and us. So thanks and welcome aboard. The last thing that I want to do is every 6 months we highlight those that have reached milestones with their tenure at the port. We have three of those that have joined, three employees that have joined us here today. The first is Cesar Soto. He's been here with us for 20 years, electronic technician, and very valuable. And 25 years, Adrian Price, who manages our job that you do, Adrian. You're a valued member of the team. And 30 years,
30 years. Wow. Maria Lewis Miller works at our Turner Basin Land. Thank you all, and we appreciate your service. I do want to highlight a person that's not here. We actually have someone with 40 years of service. He wasn't able to join us today. Electrical foreman at Barber's Cut. Dale Martin is 40 years of service. So any of y'all see Dale, tell him. So again, it's all about you, and thanks for the new members, and thanks for those that have served as well. Appreciate it.
Awesome.
Mr. Chairman, if I could take just a second.
Absolutely.
I wanted to also publicly thank Leslie Herbst and Garrett and her crew and Doug Mims on the Sam Houston. This last Thursday and Saturday, we took out two groups of Harris County mayors and councilmen. Thursday night, we were joined by Judge Hidalgo. Had a great cruise from Battleship, Texas, down to Barber's Cut. We were unloading a couple of big ships, so they kind of got to see the port at work, offloading containers. But it was a great trip, very informative. They're always surprised at when we give them the facts and figures of the impact of the port, the remarkable economic engine that this port is. And so I had a captive audience to visit with them about needing their help on the deepening and widening. We gave each one of them some information when they left the ship. And what I asked them to do was to please include us when they talk to their U.S. reps about the deepening and widening project and the necessity for getting the core to move quickly and for federal funding. So it's something that they all look forward to every year, and it was a great trip. But our staff does an exemplary job of making sure everything goes smoothly and everybody has a great time. So
good.
I wanted to thank them and look forward to doing it again.
Absolutely. Great. Okay, so let's move on to some of the business at hand in our first section, which is awards, amendments, and change orders. Let's go ahead. Who's going to present the
First part? The F1 is a recommendation for a service contract with a federal consultant, Cassidy and Associates, for specifically This is a one-year recommendation for this firm to assist us in getting through the process of authorization of deepening and widening the channel. Very, very well-respected technical group that has the contacts on that side through the transportation infrastructure and the ASA's office to get that important piece done of authorization. So we're recommending Cassidy and Associates.
Motion.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay.
And the second one, F2, would be to award. We've had a contract with Pendulum Strategies, which is Mike Frazier, who's been with us since 2001. And, a lot of experience through the Kennedy and Clinton administration, Department of Transportation, and provides us technical and I'm sorry, he worked for Senator Kennedy. He's not that old.
I was going to say, this guy's been around a long time.
Let me correct that. Clinton administration, and he worked for Senator Kennedy. But anyway, the technical expertise and guidance has been valuable for us. We're making the recommendation.
Motion.
Any discussion? Yes, sir.
Yeah, I have a question. He was on our side in our deal when we were up there trying to talk a little bit
this
about
this is at a federal level.
Federal.
This is a federal. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
At least should have been on at 10 too. All right.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Nays? Okay, great. And let's see. That's it on your next item is item three, which is the item related to authorizing our staff to work with severe storm protection education and evacuation from disasters, or SPEED, with RICE. We had a presentation with Jim Blackburn, who I believe is in the room here somewhere. Hey, Jim, good to see you. Thanks for being here. And this item is to authorize our staff to work with Jim to sort of vet forward how the port can help with the Speed Center's Galveston Bay Park plan. And we're not authorizing dollars here at this point, but we're just authorizing our team to work with Jim to come up with a plan and to help vet the Galveston Bay Park plan and kind of help it along. At some point, I would expect that staff will come back with recommendations on how we should go forward with it. But at this point, this is really just an authorization for the commission to approve the staff to go work with them on it, not necessarily spend a lot of money at this point, but enough time and effort to understand where the project's going.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Motion carries. The next item is the item four, which is the adopting the compensation committee charter that was approved by our and reviewed by our compensation committee. Is there
motion?
Second.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Okay, item number five is to appoint the chairman and members of the compensation committee. The compensation committee today is made up of Commissioner Branch, Commissioner Fitzgerald, and myself. And so we need a motion to approve me being chairman and the other two members of the comp committee.
Motion.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And we are going to wait for a couple of meetings before our new commissioner decides which committee she wants to be on.
No, let's do it now.
She's going to sit in. And of course, every commissioner is welcome to every meeting, yep. Right? And even if you're not on the committee, welcome to come to the committee meetings. The next item six is to take action to appoint a new chairman of the our procurement and small business task force. And Felden Branch has expressed an interest in being chair, and I'm just fine with that. So is there any
motion? We also need to appoint members to it.
Oh, we do? Okay, so the current members are Commissioner Branch and Commissioner Meese, right?
Yeah.
We'll appoint those members and Felden as the chair.
Do we want to have a third motion. Member?
We need a third member. Anybody want to be on there besides me? Oh, well, she's going to wait. We're not going to let her commit yet. No, she's not going to be on there yet.
Okay.
So I will go ahead and be on that committee, so we have three. So the commissioners would be chair is Felden Branch, Commissioner Meese and Commissioner Campo as other members. Is there a motion?
Motion. Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. We'll be recruiting you soon.
Yeah. I see that.
You're in.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so let's go to our commercial section.
John Mosley.
Okay, John, you're going to take us through that, correct?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Morning. Thank
you. In addition to the three agenda items that we have prepared for your consideration, we have three commercial highlights to share with you today. Port Houston won this year's AFLA Award for Best Seaport in North America's East and Gulf Coast. The award was presented to us in Hong Kong on June 17th by Asia Cargo News and is based on nominations and voting by its 15,000 readers across Asia. It's an award that selects the best in Asia freight, logistics, and supply chain. And the award is something we can all be proud of because it's both a testament to our own growing reputation in Asia and also the high level of service that we provide to our customers. We also are pleased to announce two new services to call Port Houston's public docks starting next month. Universal Africa Line, or UAL, has made the decision to shift its existing service to City Docks and to make the Turning Basin UAL's new terminal in Houston. UAL will offer customers regular direct sailings on a fortnightly basis between Port Houston City Docks and the West Coast of Africa on their fleet of multi-purpose tween-deckers. On the container side of business, CMA CGM and Mafret, both from France, have added Bayport Container Terminal to the rotation of their joint MedCar service. As one would guess from the name of the service, it will provide a new connection for our customers to and from the Mediterranean, Caribbean, and Central America. The MedCar service operates 8 vessels varying in size between 3,500 and 6,900 TEUs nominal capacity. This month, we have 3 items on the agenda for your consideration. I'd like to draw your attention to the second item, G2. It's a request for a 5-year extension of a pre-existing lease with Lyondell Bassell, which includes a liquid barge dock. The lease encompasses just under 14 and a half acres of channel property just west of Alexander Island. The annual lease rate is $391,751 per year and is subject to an annual increase of the greater of 3% or CPI. A minimum annual guarantee is included in the lease for 500,000 tons of liquid cargo to be billed according to our tariff. And with that, I welcome any questions that you may have.
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
Any questions or comments? Not all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And just to note, we were taking all 3 items, correct?
Yep.
Right. Yes. Okay, good.
Yeah. Right. Thank you.
Okay, finance, Mr. Finley.
Good morning. Good
morning.
Good to be with you this morning. Quick update. Before my single agenda item regarding the disparity study, we hosted a pre-proposal conference on the 6th, well attended a couple of weeks ago, and subsequently have received 5 proposals for the disparity study, RFP. The next item will be oral presentations. Since there's 5, we'll have all 5 come into the rank and evaluate team on July 8th and 9th. To present to us. We're looking forward to that. And our plan right now is to bring the recommendation back to the commission at the July meeting, July 29. So just an update on that. Any questions?
Yeah, Tim, as part of the analysis, will you look at recommendations that they have made in prior studies, in other words, prior clients?
We'll certainly look. I think there's 25 points allotted for the firms. Quality and experiences, and experiences includes past work on disparity studies. How deep? I'm not sure how much can be shared, but yes, we will absolutely be looking at that.
Okay.
And these were national firms?
Correct. That's exactly right, Commissioner. Okay, very good. So we'll be back in July to update you there. Item H1 on the agenda is requesting your approval for a contract not to exceed $75,000. This is an outside technical resource to help us with the Cognos platform. Cognos is where we do all of the operational budgeting and reporting, as well as the PHA statistical cargo statistics, et cetera. All that is compiled in this engine. So on an annual basis, we bring this resource in to supplement really internal IT staff for technical changes, org changes, P&L classification changes, those kind of technical things as needed. So it's that time of year as we approach budget again. So that's a $75,000 not to exceed.
Is there a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Any questions come? Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Tim, so in terms of, because I'm always looking at in terms of our IT and how it interfaces with each other. And so I'm assuming that now we're breaking IT functions down by group versus having IT presented as a part of
in IT. General, yes. It's sort of the business or the process owner in this uh-huh. example.
Okay.
So I need to be able to speak to why I need to spend this money.
Okay.
And then, of course, we work with Charles and his resources, you know, hand in hand to do the work. But, yeah, the function brings that IT resource need forward to the commission.
Yeah, it was just more of a question of making sure that all of our IT systems talk together. They, you know, they cross-function and
absolutely. Yeah. This is an essential one because all the ERP, the financials pour into this, as do our operating systems, terminal operating systems to capture container information, cargo information. So they are very much integrated. And we work that with, again, with Charles.
Great. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. It may not be on the agenda, but it has to do with pensions.
Can I
sure.
ask it now? Tim, you know, we discussed at our last pension board meeting that we might want to look into fully funding our pension plan.
Yes, sir.
Was there legislation passed in Austin this year that refers to pension plans and they must be fully funded?
Short answer, yes, there was legislation. Longer answer, I've yet to really digest okay. what that means from a trajectory of when and if we need to hit this 100% mark and how that, it's almost the definition of is, what the definition of 100% funded is. But yes, sir, we are working on that. Bring that back to the Pension and Benefits Committee ASAP.
Okay, thanks.
It's a hot topic for sure.
Okay, any other thank questions you. On this item? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, ayes have it. Infrastructure, Rich, would you take us through your items?
Good morning, Chairman, and welcome to the newest commissioner. We have 10 items. I'll really highlight one and give you a couple of operational highlights as well. Item number three, amend the feasibility cost share agreement between the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and the Port Authority in the amount of $300,000. This is basically a land yap to finish the four-year study. We've been working with the Army Corps of Engineers for 4 years. 50-50, so we put in $5 million, they put in $5 million. Our input has been work in kind. Theirs has been, in terms of their people, a little bit of cash. There's been some disagreements along the road, which I think most of us are a little bit familiar with, but they've resulted in having an economic summit at which we agreed to revisit some of the model benefits and the forecasts and so forth. We made some policy exception requests to headquarters last spring, which were addressed last fall as a denial, and then we asked the ASA for a categorical exemption to this point about the core widening the main bay of the reach only 40% of the way up, and that was asked in the fall and answered in the spring with another denial. So these things have pushed the process back a little bit. What we have to do now is the Corps has to go back to the ASA and ask for a little bit more time, and time is money, and that is the, you know, the way to get the chief's report finished by next spring, so they can, as Roger said, get in the hopper for award of 2020. The total amount is actually $600,000. We're splitting it 50-50, so $300,000 to us. This represents, you can think about it as a 6% extension on a four-year, very complicated project. A 6% extension is really quite reasonable.
You need a motion?
We do.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Any comments or questions?
Question.
Yes.
So the so their position, because they denied the us the expansion is the reason why we're having to spend the additional $600,000 to now go back and do more justification.
Right. They're basically asking for two things. One is more time to finish the report and to include the upper bay widening as an LPP.
Okay.
Which we were not willing to state while we were asking for them to give us a categorical exemption to include that part in the main project. Since they denied it, then we have basically acquiesced and said we'll go ahead and write the report with the LPP in it. And
okay.
Now we have to ask for both things. My understanding is that both of those requests are being socialized, and as soon as they get the request at headquarters, ASA, James is going to sign it.
Okay. All right.
Any other questions? Just a point of clarification, land yap means a little something extra.
Yes.
Usually in the term of beads or something like that, as opposed to $600,000 worth of land yap.
That's some serious land yap.
I want some of that.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so we're voting all items in infrastructure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Wait a minute.
Oh, go ahead.
Wait a minute. Are you going 1 through 10?
Usually we do because he wasn't talking about the others. If you want to have other questions, that's fine.
Yeah, I have a question on one.
Okay. Let's go ahead and answer questions.
We took some bids. We rejected them because we're going to add an additional deal to it. I understand that. But I understand it costs money to put bids. You had two responsible bids bid this thing. I don't see why we don't award that and then turn around and have a contract for the other one. Is it because you think you'll get a better bid by putting two together? And well, if so, why didn't we do that to begin with? Somebody's going to lose money even though they bid. I mean, I know it costs money to do
right.
it.
And we certainly respect that. I think there's two main reasons for this recommendation. The first one is that the both of the bids, while being responsive, were in excess of what we thought the budget should be.
Okay.
And the second reason is that while we're at it, we want to include the other terminals so that this bid can be applicable, Turning Basin, Bayport, and Barber's Cut.
Okay.
Any other questions on any of the other items that we're going to vote on here?
Can we say one other thing?
Sure. Go ahead.
Tell them about the
yes. There are a number of pipeline licenses on the agenda. Those are one-year extensions. We are in the middle of evaluating the pipeline rate structure, and we don't have a recommended new schedule at the moment, but we will come back probably in July to discuss that, to make sure that our pipelines are comparable to benchmark market rates, and that the port is doing its fiduciary duty in terms of extracting the right economic rents and also serving commerce for the public.
So normally we do 10-year leases. So before we do, we have a number of leases that are ready for a 10-year extension. Before we do that, we want to make sure we have the right fee structure.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you're doing only one year.
Yeah,
so
these ones, three of the four that are on here are 1 year because they're new pipelines and we don't want to hold up their business. So we can come back after a year with the new fee and hit those. The fourth one is a discharge, a wastewater discharge, and we're going to leave those at the same fee as it currently is.
And you have communicated that with the companies that requested the pipelines that were evaluating the fees. And they know it's coming in the next year.
Correct.
Okay. Yes. I do have three very quick operational highlights. The first one is that back to
Before we do that, let's go ahead and take the vote since we already have a motion and a second.
It's 1 through 10,
one
right?
1 through 10, okay. That's correct.
Is there a motion?
Yes.
There's a motion and a second.
Yeah, a second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Okay. Thank you.
Back to the Ship Channel project. We continue to work forward on Monday last week, we turned in our work in kind, so basically the final results of our $5 million out of the $10 million effort. Now the ball is in the Corps' court. They need to turn that around into a draft report for the chief. That is due at the end of July, and then it goes into a multi-month evaluation and review process, multi-agency process. That's why it takes from August all the way through next spring, which is basically the government's review process. We are asking everybody who has a conversation with the government to make sure we put the full court press on that schedule doesn't slip so that it will get into the hopper for award of 2020. Yes.
And so, Rich, what, and maybe government might have a better answer for this. What would you, versus just talking to various members of Congress and whatnot, should we be encouraging them to send letters? Should we be encouraging them to take action?
Right. So we are also in concert with turning in our work. We are developing a three-legged stool roadmap, as we talked about a roadmap. We drafted the roadmap a few weeks ago. Now we're layering on additional levels of detail. Every part of that roadmap is a moving part, and we have to be able to be reactive to what Congress and the OMB and the headquarters and the replacement of a general or replacement of a colonel and so forth. We need to be able to play a game and be able to call audibles down the road. The three legs are economic feasibility, so continuing to promote the benefits of widening and safety for the ship channel. Advocacy in terms of making sure that we get this on the schedule for WERDA and that we have all the other agreements in place so that once WERDA is signed, then we can go ahead as fast as possible to construction. And there's a lot of moving parts in there. The main messages are, I think I have the 3x5 card. Through our commercial group, we've put together a set of talking points, which we are handing out. We handed this out at the Houston Business Journal conference last Friday morning. We're handing it out to everybody. And this basically says safety first, widening is important, and those messages that we've told you before.
Great. Me some needos.
you will have these 3x5 cards as well, but just to jump on to what Rich was saying, you know, this playbook, this roadmap that they're talking about is very detailed, you know, inclusive of our stakeholders to make sure, I don't know if you talk about the funding piece of it yet, but
that's the third leg of the stool, is the financing strategy.
Jumped ahead of them, but feasibility and funding and all of that, so we know when and where, advocacy from stakeholders to all of us or anyone in the room to when, and it's going to be very carefully choreographed. We're not going to do this alone.
Right.
But let me also add to your point, Commissioner Branch, that I think letters are good, but the personal communication one-on-one, whether it's a call or a meeting, I think for our elected officials here and stakeholders in business community and in other groups is really the best.
I think the card's a great idea.
Yeah, the cards we'll make sure everybody in the room has a card if they want one before they leave. Two other quick footnotes. Just as you got to ride the helicopters, mm-hmm. The Houston pilots hosted the Chief Commercial Officer John Mosley and myself on a six-hour tour of the ship channel. We took off from Targa terminals on an LPG tanker and experienced three Texas chickens and saw the infrastructure from that point of view. So we appreciate that. Thank you very much to the pilots for hosting us. And then finally, the ship channel is the number one important project for the port. It is probably the most important piece of infrastructure for the country. And on the other side of the port, we have freight mobility. And we're always working with entities such as TxDOT, HGAC, and others to promote mobility of trucks and rail. So one highlight that is happening this month is the Broadway double track is being completed. That broke ground last October. That is the result of a couple of years of advocacy from our freight mobility department, getting state money to combine with the railroad's private money to basically take a train crossing at Broadway just on the other side of the ship channel and go from one lane to two lanes. That way, trains aren't backing up. The school children can get to school in the East End, and traffic is alleviated. It's a huge benefit. The groundbreaking was a big ceremony, but it's pretty much done this month, so that's a good highlight.
Great.
Thank you.
Great. Okay, moving on to operations.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. Four items on the ops agenda for your consideration this month. And I'd like to highlight J1, and that is to approve staff's ranking of vendors and award a contract in amount of not to exceed $18,827,319 for purchase of 9 diesel electric container yard cranes. These are for Bayport, and this will bring with approval of this would bring the total number of RTGs at Bayport to 57 with 42 at Barber's Cut for a total of 99. You might recall RTGs are our yard handling cranes. They move boxes to and from the ground, to trucks to the road, trucks to ships. Currently our business is split 60-40 between Bayport and Barber's Cut, so this split of RTGs amongst the terminals certainly matches our volume. These cranes that we're ordering this time are hybrids, and this will bring the total number of hybrids ordered to 17. And hybrids represent a 66% emissions reduction over our current diesel electric format, and fuel consumption is about the same. So it's good for the environment. It's very efficient technology for our expenses. And this is certainly our direction for the future, and we're proud of that. This request coincides with a 44-acre yard, Yard 7, that's currently under construction at Bayport. New yard, new capacity drives the demand for new cranes. And as we, Roger spoke about our container business being up 12% year to date. Bayport's business between 2014 and 2018, as you isolate it and it stands alone, it's doubled over that five-year span. We're up 17% this year at Bayport alone. So continues to drive the demand. The future, our future forecasts are still strong over the next 5 years, driving the demand for additional container handling equipment. And RTGs are really where the rubber meets the road when we serve our container facilities. Literally. And high service levels, 35-minute turn times, vessel productivity in the mid-30s, they're all driven by RTGs. We partner with the ILA that operate the equipment. We have about 175 operators. We continue to train the workforce to be able to man this equipment. And it and our management staff's capabilities in managing that container yard, that's one of the most dynamic things that we do, is if you've ever driven around Bayport or Barber's Cut during the daytime, you know what I'm talking about. There's a lot going on, and the RTGs are truly where the rubber meets the road. But I'll take questions on these items.
Christian? I'll make a motion for staff's recommendation, the Coney cranes.
Okay. Second. Quick question.
Go ahead.
Are the engines on these cranes convertible to LNG or CNG?
Paulo?
No, sir.
Oh, okay. Well, they are hybrid, though, right?
Yeah,
they are hybrid. Paulo mentioned the diesel electric 670 horsepower, and the engines on these are 70. So considerable emissions reduction, and certainly
great
fuel
that.
Savings there.
Question. Yeah. So how do these Coney cranes interface with what we have? Or
all the other 92 are Coney cranes as well.
Okay. Okay.
Excuse me. The other 90. I'm sorry.
Other 90.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Great.
We are taking all the other items on this as well. So any other questions about the other items?
I have one on four.
Okay.
We're extending the contract for 3 months for $87,000, I think it is. Is that the same amount we're paying basically monthly now in the contract
yes,
we have?
Yes, sir.
It, so we pay, it didn't go up, didn't go down?
No, sir.
Okay. No problem.
Any other questions?
Motion 1 through 4.
Motion 1 through 4.
Second operation.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? If not, a call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay.
Thank you.
I'd just like to say, Mr. Chairman, that Jeff and his staff do a hell of a job of managing that container terminal when we get very, very busy and ships pile up and road trucks pile up. They do a great job of taking care of that operation and making it work.
And like you, Clyde, I travel a lot of these different terminals. I mean, this is the best in the business.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt. Clean,
we're the
efficient,
best.
We're the best.
Great. Okay, so our next area of port security emergency operations. Marcus.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. I have two highlights this month for port security and emergency operations. They revolve around audits. We had two audits this month, an external audit for our ISO 28000 standard, which is supply chain security. We have an external audit every year. For the first time in the 12 years we've had this, we came away with no nonconformities. Outstanding job by the team. They also cleared any outstanding issues from the last audit. Next year, we'll be having our recertification audit, and we're looking forward to that. The second one is, we just got back yesterday, is our CTPAT. Customs Trade Partnership Against Terrorism, which is another certification we hold. They came out about a month ago. They did an audit on us. We just got the report yesterday. Again, a clean, no nonconformities. Quite honestly, a few best practices in there. We have to fill out a little paperwork, and then we'll be recertified for that. So great job to the team on keeping up those certifications. As for our one item on the agenda today, again, going back to Commissioner Branch's question, working with IT and their recapitalization schedule, we budgeted last fall to recapitalize our computers this year. So on the agenda is 40 Toughbook computers. They'll go in 26 police vehicles, 11 fire vehicles, and 3 emergency management. That's 40. and these are basically the offices for the police officers and the firefighters. They don't really have a desk. They're out there and they can do their reports. They can gather data from the computer that they need MSDSs for hazardous materials. They can upload their reports. Great tool for them out in the field, and requesting your approval of those today. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Okay. Second.
Any questions? Not all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
That's $3,500 a deal, right?
Yes, sir. It includes the computer, the docking station, and the power charger that goes in.
If you have, if the commissioners have been in some of those cars to see them, they're pretty. They have a lot of capacity, and they definitely need to be very current up to date. After the picnic, I went and sat in a car, and it was fascinating, all the interesting things I could do with that. Even though it was a little slow connecting to the internet.
Yes, sir.
Is this going to be quicker?
We have a lot of antivirus stuff on there, way. So, but that's a good thing.
It is, absolutely.
We will take a little bit of loss of speed to stay safe in the cyber world.
Question on, so are you responsible for sending out the notices, the POC notices? Like, we got one this morning about the high water.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's emergency management.
Yep.
We have the ad hoc system. There's really three different kinds of reports we'll send. One is informational, like today, in terms kind of, I call them kind of HR reports, like ice on the road or the air conditioner went out in the building, come to work an hour late today, high water, those kinds of things. The next level is informational. It'll be, let's say, a truck, an 18-wheeler's on fire under the 610 bridge and our fire department's responding. We'll send that out just for information for senior leadership.
No, let me just say that that's great.
It is good.
That since that system has gone into place, I've been really impressed with, you know, getting updates as to things that are happening. So great.
How long have we been doing that? It's fairly recent, isn't it?
No, sir. We only recently added
recent for you.
I really appreciate it. I didn't realize
that y'all weren't on.
But that we weren't on the system.
Then you have another level too, right?
And then the third level would be, let's say, a container, an ISO tank is leaking a hazardous material at Barber's Cutter Bayport. We might say, you know, stay away from this. You know, container yard 7, we got something leaking. And again, that would go to all employees. That's more of an action item that might have a follow up, like all clear and things like that. So we're linking this to the new sirens we're getting that are in place. You approved those last year. We don't quite have them connected yet. And then we obviously have to train everybody on what the different tones mean coming from the sirens. But that'll be connected to the same system.
And that also would include other channel issues, like on the May 10th issue when we had the collision in the channel?
Yes, sir. We actually had a hot wash yesterday with about 30 to 40 of our emergency management partners from up and down the ship channel. Very robust. Down at San Jacinto, Tom was there for part of it. I was actually the moderator. A lot of sharp comments. You have to be a little thick-skinned. But the key to that was communications and notification.
Right.
And we're going to probably add another group for incidents like that. They won't get all the informational alerts or the come to work late kind of the HR things. But if we have an incident like that, we can simply add another little user group and hit the button and they'll know in advance.
Yeah, I think it's really important to do that because on that particular incident, I was on my way to Galveston and saw the alert. And then like within about, you know, 5 minutes, I started getting calls from public officials going, what's going on? How's it, you know, that kind of thing. And for, it was really important for me to say, well, here's what's going on. And, you know, the right folks are taking care of it. And so it is important because we all do get calls from our public officials that have issues with the things like that. And so it's really important for us to know sort of in real time what's happening.
Yes, sir. And if any of the commissioners are not getting those alerts, please let me know. They should be coming via text message. And then they can also go to your email and the ad hoc app if you want to do that, too. I'll help you with those.
Marcus Seabrook. Right. Seabrook did participate in the hard wash, I'm assuming, didn't they?
Yes, and they were very vocal.
Yeah, they're mayor. They're mayor.
I want to say everybody in the room was very, very forthright. That's the kind of closed door meeting where you hash out some issues, and it was a very good meeting. And Seabrook was there, LaPorte, Pasadena, Galveston County, Harris County, I mean, League City, Kima. I mean, I can't even. I'm sure I'm leaving a lot of people out.
Chambers
County, yes, sir.
Oh. I was thinking it. Mayor Shoreacres.
Baytown. Baytown was there, so.
Morgan, wind was blowing the right direction for us. So
well, I got that call, too.
Did we vote on this, sorry?
Yes.
Yes, we did. Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Technology.
Technology.
Changes. Change is coming.
It's always coming. Chairman, commissioners, good morning. If you want to be an IT professional and want to get everybody's attention, just say one word: cybersecurity.
There you go.
I say that because my highlight before I get to our two agenda items is that because we are a critical infrastructure port to the nation, last year prior to the elections, we invited Department of Homeland Security, Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency to come and do an internal discovery, and they're in our IT area this week. Those results may be discussed depending upon what Roger's disposition is in closed session, because those things we're not going to share with the public. We have two agenda items today. I'd like to take the second one first. Previously, earlier this year, this commission approved an RCA, and due to a non-performance or at the convenience of the port, we canceled that contract, and we come back to you for the same amount, but with the second successful proposer. And it's important to note that $735,000 of this cost are based on a port security grant that we received in 2017. The first agenda item is for project management services to augment our internal IT project management staff, and the entire expense will be SBE. With that, I'll take questions.
So the grant on the $735,000 grant was granted in 2017.
So it's $980,000 grant. We get 75% reimbursed. We pay a 25% match. So the delta for us to replace our camera and video management system port-wide.
It says potential port security grant. So
we have it.
Okay.
It's not a potential. It's a real.
You can strike that word.
Okay.
Got to get the money in our account. Then it's
two separate deals, right. But they're going to talk to each other. Seem like it's two different manufacturers.
No, sir. It's one manufacturer. We're just replacing our existing camera and video management system.
Okay. Maybe we approve items 1 and 2 under technology.
Second.
Any other comments or questions? If not, call for the vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay.
And we now go into executive. Yep. Okay.
Want to take a break?
I think we're going to take a break, and then we're going to go into executive session. Okay, so let's take a 10-minute break and be back here.
Okay.
We got everybody in here we need.
It is now 10:26 a.m. The Board Commission of the Port Houston Authority of Harris County, Texas will now convene in a closed meeting as permitted by the Texas Open Meetings Act and Government Code to conduct a private consultation with attorneys, including consultation regarding contract for renovation of executive office building at Turning Base Terminal dated February 26, 2019 with Housing Land Development Corporation, DBA ICLU. Settlement agreement dated December 19, 2003 with GB Biosize Corporation
et al.
Limitations on ships calling Port Authority container terminals.
Why?
And Texas Government Code Chapter 551. Deliberate regarding real estate, section, et cetera, economic development, negotiations or incentives, employment or evaluation of public employees, and security related matters. The Port Commission will reconvene in public session after the closed meeting. Is it?
Oh, I thought he'd already done that.
To discuss on the executive session. So our last item is just to remind everyone that Monday, our next meeting is Monday, not a Tuesday, on the 29th of July. So make sure you put that note in your calendar and don't come on Tuesday because we will not be here. And so I'll just take a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Perfect.